Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're here today speaking with Penny Pierce. Penny is a well-respected international expert on intuition and perception. She's been on Synchronicity before. She is a gifted clairvoyant, empath, and visionary, and a pioneer in intuition development and personal transformation. She's worked around the world as a coach and a trainer to business and government leaders, psychologists, scientists, celebrities, and those on a spiritual path since 1977. And she's here today to talk about her latest book, Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. Welcome to the show, Penny.
It's good to be back.
Welcome back and Happy New Year.
Yes, especially at the beginning of a new year. This is great.
A nice way to start on a transparent note. So let's jump right in and maybe you can define what transparency means to you.
Well, I think what it means to a lot of people right now is kind of freedom of information, access to truthful information. And I kind of get a feeling people are just kind of frustrated with lies and secrets, and they want the real thing. They're sick of being manipulated. And that's kind of the first level of transparency. And I've been calling that horizontal transparency, meaning kind of it's still in the physical world. It's still relating to the information age, which I think is slowly or rapidly being eclipsed now by this new intuition age where perception is changing. So horizontal transparency has a lot to do with information. But the new thing is vertical transparency, which is where the spiritual realm or the non-physical realm merges with the physical. Actually, it's always been merged, but we haven't been able to see it, right? So there's a kind of a sense now that the acceleration on the planet has reached such a high frequency, really, that we're able to see each other as vibration, and we all have energy, and so that we're starting to get the idea that we are basically spiritual beings in a physical form, you know, and that, I mean, that's nothing new really, but I think it's at this point, people are actually experiencing it more and more. So that the idea that, hey, I am the soul, I'm here, I don't have it, it's not in the future, it's not out in space somewhere, I'm it now. And I, the soul, do know what I'm doing. You know, I do know somewhere in me how everything works and what I need to do in my lifetime. And I can trust that guidance. And as you merge with that and you become the soul in the personality and in the body, you then also see spirit inside of matter everywhere. So that there's kind of like light inside of form. And it starts to change the way reality functions and the way you think about yourself. So that's in a nutshell what I think about transparency. But I think it's kind of the new thing. I mean, I hear it every day in the news now, you know, that there's a lack of transparency, or we're trying to be transparent about this. And I think it's just something, it's kind of a word whose time has come.
Thanks, Penny. So right now we're at this physical level you're calling horizontal transparency. So that's when companies are trying to be honest, but a lot of the time they might be trying, but they're not doing a very good job lately, right?
Right. You know, well, they think that if you're honest and you don't keep these like secrets, that it'll hit the bottom line and it'll be negative, have a negative effect. And that's the whole thing right now, is that the whole idea of even becoming personally transparent. And what does that mean? You know, that's like, well, to me, I was told that I should, especially when I moved to Florida from California, where it was very easy to be spiritual because everybody else around me was. And I moved to Florida where it's not quite so easy. You know, there's a lot of challenges consciousness-wise, that I should let myself be exposed. I didn't have to go out and broadcast everything about myself, but I could just didn't defend myself. Just let people see me if they can see me. If they can't, they won't. And there's something there about being authentic, being real, you know, humble in a certain way as well, just being what you are in each moment, not trying to put on a mask, not trying to please people all the time by being perfect, you know, and just, you know, it's a combination of honesty, authenticity, humility, just being real in each moment, you know, and something happens when you do that.
Hmm. Now, you said something interesting. You said you don't have to broadcast who you are, but just be who you are. And if they can see you, they will. And if they can't, they won't. So what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think we all vibrate at different frequencies. So people who are on my wavelength will understand what I'm talking about. You know, they get it. We're ripe for this kind of information. But there are other people who are working on other belief systems, let's say, or have ideas about the way the world works or who they are, how you have to be successful, that are kind of I don't want to put it down like it's a negative thing, but it's more like it's a slower vibration. And so they can't see me and what I'm doing. And so they don't notice me, honestly. I'm invisible to many, many people. If I tried to make a big deal out of it and throw it in people's faces, they'd get angry and, you know, try to reject me. But if I don't, then they just bypass me. Otherwise, people who are ready find me very easily. And that's true for everybody. You attract the people who are on your wavelength, you know, and it kind of sorts itself out naturally without any willpower. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm curious to know how it was when you first moved to Florida, because I can imagine that there was some fear there, having sort of a different mentality than California.
Mm-hmm. When I started talking to people around town, like the gardener or my mother's, you know, 80 and 90 year old friends and so forth, you know, a lot of them are very Christian fundamentalist. They go to church every week and, you know, have good value systems in that regard, very warm hearted. But they say, what do you do? And I wouldn't even know how to describe the kind of thinking I have about spirituality as opposed to the Bible. You know, and so it was a very hard bridging process for me. And so I would say, well, I write self-help books, you know, and try to make it as compassionate as I could, just so, you know, they have some idea of what I'm about. But yeah, I didn't feel like, well, for a little while, I felt like I better be careful here. And then I relaxed and realized that everything would kind of take care of itself. And, but it's been a real lesson actually in compassion. So, I see why I came here.
Would you like to say more about what you see?
About
why you came, why you went there?
Well, I think it is partly that it's very easy to be comfortable or spiritual or whatever you like. When you're around people of like mind, you never have to deal with people who think very differently from you. And when you go to another part of the country where you don't exactly fit in, there are definite challenges, you know, to not reduce yourself or contract or judge people negatively at all, but to stay very open. Part of my guidance told me, just be a clear space in the field of Florida, right? Don't try to label it or put a spin on it or do anything. Just be an open, transparent space. And anything that was of that level would flow into me and connections would be made. And that has been the case, but it's been not that many people, but high quality people.
Beautiful. And Penny, I'm curious if you are learning anything new from people who don't agree with what you're doing or have, you know, I imagine that in Florida, politically things are different than California, spiritually, all of that. There's a lot of really different views. Is mm-hmm. that is that bringing up new insights for you and helping you learn new things?
I really can see how people can be extremely loving and also, you know, the political thing they get rabid about, the conservatism, it's almost hatred comes out. And it's like, how do these qualities exist in the same people? Sometimes I don't understand that. And, but you know what is, you have to tolerate, you have to allow. All kinds of odd things exist in us because we do have all the qualities in ourselves. You know, everybody has everything, really. So it's about not being judgmental. I think that's a big part of it.
Beautiful. Thank you. We are speaking right now with Penny Pierce. She is the author of Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. And her website is pennypierce.com. Now, you mentioned that we are moving into, hopefully, the intuition age.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in, you mentioned throughout the book this bridge time, and I'm assuming we're kind of in that bridge time right now between the horizontal transparency and the vertical, as well as the information age moving into the intuition age. So can you say a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been in a process of acceleration for many years now, and that acceleration causes us to start to clear things that are of low vibration, which basically are fear-based thoughts, fear-based belief systems, old emotional patterns. Those things are in the way of us becoming the soul, of realizing that we are the soul. We're not becoming it. We actually are it. We're having the realization of it. And, you know, so that process is continuing now, and it's accelerating, I think, quite intensely this year. Started quite a bit last year in 2017, and now this year I think it's going to just flood in. Transparency really is the result of personal transformation. Personal transformation is when we clear the clutter. Like, I always think of the clutter as kind of like our fear-based ideas, but it's kind of like wet blankets that have been laid over on top of us that weigh us down and make us feel all heavy and sloggy and stuck and negative about ourselves. And I'm calling that the opaque reality, as opposed to the transparent reality. But as you clear the fear, you just simply become more transparent. More of the soul can come out, and then more you can realize that you are the soul more and more and more. So it's not that you have to make a new connection with the soul. It's that it's always there. You have to uncover it, you know, remove what's blocking the view. And I think that's what we're trying to do these days, especially with politics and so forth, where a lot of negativity is coming up in so many areas. But that is the sign of the old belief systems being cleared. And I think personally that it's quite healthy, that we need to embrace it, face it, understand it, see where the mistake in perception was, and let it go and let more of our own light come through instead. Bit by bit by bit by bit, you know. You do it, and then you get clear, and then another piece comes in, and you think, wait a minute, I thought I was clear. No, there's levels and levels and levels of this stuff. And some of it's your own personal ownership of woundedness and pain, and some of it then after you've cleared your own, it's like you're clearing societal pain. You know, you might be just not locking into the belief in abusing women, for instance. I mean, look at what's happening with the Me Too movement right now, where things are coming up from the subconscious realms that used to be suppressed, and now they cannot be suppressed anymore. And, you know, if you still try to suppress it, you're contributing to societal clutter.
So it sounds like you're saying that all of this stuff needs to come up. And I know that you are quite optimistic for humanity, but I mean, there are a lot of, you've mentioned the anger. I mean, there's anger on all sides, I think, right now. And there are concerns of, I mean, that could break out in a nuclear war or something else catastrophic like that because of all this anger. So how concerned are you about that kind of stuff?
Not that much. I think there's going to be skirmishes, small kinds of warlike experiences. I think there will be more things like the catastrophic storms like that hit Puerto Rico and are affecting it so strongly. A lot of things, small, but all over the world, giving people opportunities to shift their consciousness and do something positive with what's going on. I do think that it's like the, how to describe this? It's like the people who are very ingrained with fear-based behaviors like narcissism and victimization. Those behaviors are very much about trying to control reality and not wanting to feel alone and not wanting to think that maybe I'm, you know, going to be annihilated in this world and I don't have a soul, or, you know, it's just like this ridiculous negativity. That those kind of things are really starting to dissolve, and what's replacing them is this fullness of the universe, the fullness of the void, the fullness of the soul, of the imaginal realm, that all options are there for us. And it's a very beneficial and beneficent kind of world if you open to it. If you want to think that it's empty and nothingness, then you can have a nothingness world. You know, it's going to follow your own belief systems. But you're talking about the bridge time, and I think a lot of people have been working on themselves for a very long time and are becoming quite clear now. Other people are feeling threatened by the heightened energy, as though it's going to really severely disturb their comfort zone, and it probably will, you know, to help force them to open up. But a lot of people are quite open and clear, and they're leading the way. Other people are just opening. Some other people haven't even started, and other people are resisting it. You know, so there are many levels right now of clarity and lack of clarity. So if you're becoming clear, there's a kind of challenge in, you know, not backsliding, you know, in maintaining your clarity and increasing it in the face of this rising or flooding emergence of the old subconscious fears that are now being released. And that is what's happening on the planet. It's like everything that used to be suppressed, that could be denied and hidden, is coming to the surface. No more secrets, no more lies, no more masks. That kind of thing is going to be seen as very antiquated and stupid and slow and prehistoric, you know. And so I think we're seeing this sense of the old becoming very, very old and new things starting to rise out of the cracks. And I think a lot of the young people are just naturally born with a lot of this consciousness and are going to be instrumental in bringing this forth. And women are naturally in the intuitive, you know, age already, practically. So I think it's going to happen now in the next few years very quickly.
Beautiful. You mentioned backsliding, and I know that happened to me just over the holidays. I had the flu and it, you know, I felt really gross and I started having a lot of negative thoughts and worries and fears. And at the time I was actually reading, as I was kind of coming out of it, I found something that I had photocopied about depressive thoughts. And it was talking about how these thoughts are, they're symptoms of depression, just the same as a fever is a symptom of the flu. But at the time that you're having them, they really feel true. Like to me, it felt like my future is hopeless. I'm stuck. I'm pushing 40, so everything is going to change and life is going to be harder, right? I'm going to be hard, you know, if I have to decide about this partner that I'm with now, because if I wait a few more years, I'll be too old to find someone new. Like all of these things,
so
right?
Oh,
yeah, I know, right? But at the time, it feels true.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, one thing, depressive thoughts can come from slowing your own energy down. The depressive thoughts are connected to contracted physical energy and physical and emotional energy. You know, and so who knows why that gets contracted. But I did notice all of last year that as these waves of intensification and energy kept flowing in, it's like they came and then they ebbed and then they came in again and then it ebbed. And I kept forgetting that, oh, it's a new wave of energy and acceleration. And I would think it was me. And I would start like, I can't handle this. I'm upset. I have to eat carbohydrates. I have to watch TV. I have to take a nap in the afternoon, you know, something to try to slow it and medicate it and manage it. And then a friend said to me, yeah, but why are we so afraid of our own light? You know, and I said, yeah, you know, that's what's coming is I'm getting more of myself. Why am I resisting that? But it's not me that was resisting. It was my left brain that was resisting it. That part of the mind that wants to control everything and not have any change and stay in the comfort zone and know what's familiar and all that stuff. And so that helped me shift a bit. But I think, you know, depressive thoughts also come from starting to think about what you don't have, what you're not going to do, what's never going to be. And if I don't have this relationship, then I'll never do this. And, you know, it's a negative spiral of thinking about what isn't, as opposed to just being in yourself, fully present in the center of yourself, radiating outward and feeling what you do know, what you are interested in, what is going on in your reality in the moment. Maybe nothing's going on and now you have a spaciousness. Maybe a lot's going on and now you have a lot of activity. But whatever it is, it's fine. It's evolutionary, you know, and it's that left brain fighting against what is that I think causes depression. In fact, one of my friends said depression was biologically induced meditation. You know, and so I think it's about getting yourself out of projections, especially negative declarative statements, back into just the simplicity of being. And I'm here, and what do I feel like doing next? You know, what do I want to create next? You know, and getting into that outflow, you know.
It's almost, yeah, like it feels like the left brain is trying to protect. It's this self-preservation / survival fight or flight kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
Rather than just being in the moment, because when we focus, I mean, this, even if you have like a list of things that you have to do in the day, if you start focusing on the whole list, you're going to feel overwhelmed. But if you just do one thing at a time, it's really not that bad.
Right. You know, a lot of this thing about spiritual growth and transformation and transparency really is about perception. You know, I wrote Leap of Perception just to help, you know, get people in touch with the fact that we are shifting the way we perceive reality. And what's that going to feel like? And what is that? And how's it going to work? You know, and transparency is very much based on that. You stay in yourself and you identify as the soul and you say, I do know somewhere in me what's right. And I trust myself and I trust the way the flow is working. In other words, whatever shows up for me is just what I need. It's a way for me to learn something. It's a way for me to clear something. And I trust that implicitly. And like I just had a thing this week where I had new kitchen counters installed and I got a sink. And then I found out the sink was damaged in shipment. So then I had to take it back, but they couldn't take it back. And then, you know, ensued this long hassle of, oh, but our computer won't do that, you know. And then so I had to drive like 40 miles to another store to get this other one. And I kept thinking, what is going on here? You know, like, but suddenly I'll just do it. And then everybody was so helpful suddenly. Like, as soon as I just surrendered and went into the process and drove the 40 miles, oh, then the guy was so great, and he explained all these things to me. And then the people who came, they were available to come install the sink, and they were did it so well. And it was like, wow, you know, I had to get over feeling like I was, like the world was against me, do you know? And as soon as I let that go, it flowed with me, you know. But it was, you know, I certainly did go back into my old, you know, rap about, oh gosh, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think, you know, even snags are there so that we can see that we don't really need to have them.
Mm. So how, cause yeah, I could totally see that someone getting really, upset about that, the hassle, and then starting to think about how, well, people are just incompetent and da 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 da, you know. It doesn't take much to get on that train of thought. So how do you reel yourself back in? At what point do you realize, hang on a second, this is my old way of perceiving?
Yeah, well, I, you know, in Frequency, my book Frequency, I talk a lot about learning to recognize your home frequency, which is, I think, it's really this, the soul in the body. It's like when you identify as a soul, and here I am, you know. And basically, it's this state of, it's your preferred state. It's the way you'd like to feel when you like yourself. and you can learn to feel that, and then contrast it to those states where you go into those snits, you know, and those little negative moods, and you go, wait a minute, I don't like that kind of contraction. I prefer feeling like a happy kid playing and experimenting and laughing and enjoying my life and myself. And so there's always a choice in each moment about how you want to run your energy. So you can relax and recenter and get back into your home frequency or your, that preferred state. Release the energy contraction, be with what is, embrace it actually, and interact with it in a way, learn from it. And then it kind of releases the contraction, which lets energy flow, and then your life evolves suddenly into something useful and good. If you hold it and stay contracted and be miserable, and that's kindly, we're programmed a lot to be miserable and commiserate with other people who are miserable. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets worse and worse and worse. So, you know, you just have to remember in each moment, there's a choice. Nobody can make me feel bad if I don't want to feel bad. And these situations, you know, I see I could feel bad about this, or I could just, you know, flow with it and believe in the next person who's going to be there to assist, and that everybody actually in their core, they do want to help everybody else, you know. And like, it goes back to what we're saying about businesses earlier with transparency. Honestly, I think that people want to give good service. I think they want to get good service. I think they want a good value, you know, and they don't want to rip people off because they don't want to be ripped off. That kind of, I think, value system is becoming more and more prevalent because of transparency. Hmm. And people who are trying to rip people off and lie and say, oh, well, we don't do that repair, you know, that's your problem. You know, it's like, I will write a bad Yelp review. Anyway, it's a daily thing, you know, Marie. It's just, I mean, I'm pretty clear, but I still get tangled up and have to do it constantly, recenter, go back to it. But, you know, it, the more you choose to be open and authentic and compassionate, I guess, you know, the longer you stay that way. It's like you program your body to have a new set of rules, and you don't react the same way that you used to.
And I can imagine, I know with my depressive thoughts, and when I get into that downward spiral, it's exhausting. It takes up so much energy. And the deeper you get, the it feels like the more energy it takes to dig myself out. So how are your energy levels?
I think they vary according to these waves that come through. I think I'm remaining fairly positive. I practice a lot during the day, a kind of communion thing with the air. I think about my objects. I think about the plants, the trees, the birds outside. But I also think about my computer, my car, my desk, and that there's energy inside of it. There's consciousness inside of objects. And when I look at something, I look at it for a little while and I say, hi, and I look inside of it and I say, thanks for being with me. And like, I kind of make a loving connection with things in my environment, whatever's showing up with me in that that moment. I feel it's full of light. And then that I don't know what that does. It makes me feel good, peaceful. Like I'm connected to everything and everything's friendly. And I know about it and it knows about me.
Did you talk to the sink before you opened the box? Maybe that.
I did. Well, and then when I found out that it was a little damaged, I was like, felt sorry for it. Aww. It's like...
Poor little sink. We are speaking right now with Penny Pierce. She is the author of Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. You can find her at pennypierce.com. And I'd like to talk a little bit about how the book is broken down, because each chapter has an exercise. A lot of them are writing and journaling exercises. So how should readers approach this book?
Well, this is the fourth in a series on transformation. They've been kind of being doled out to me over the years, and all of them are kind of guidebooks, I would say. I like to go up into the higher realms and access these large kind of abstract patterns of information and then translate those down into practical, tactile, felt sense kind of language so that people can sort of get it, Then I like to have exercises that demonstrate what that thing feels like. So write about it or do it or whatever, but all my books have this thing with exercises. So I think that it's just, this is a process, and I wrote the chapters so that it basically flowed through a process of opening and understanding challenges, and then, the kind of the positive repercussions of what this process is going to do to us, how reality may change, and there are certain key things like, trust is a huge thing with transparency, honesty, allowing yourself to be vulnerable. So many things here that are going to pay off in a very big way. So.
Now, there is mention in the book, I'm not exactly sure what chapter, but you mentioned trust, and because everybody is kind of at their own frequency, and like you said, you be who you are, and then the people who can see you will see you and find you. But sometimes we can't just be, we can be vulnerable on certain levels depending on who we're talking to. Is that accurate?
I think I talk about radical trust, and meaning that, first of all, you have to trust that you are the soul and that you can trust what comes through to you and what you notice, that that's the soul trying to get through to your mind and personality. You can trust the way reality occurs around you, the way the flow materializes things in your life, moment to moment to moment, and engage with it. You can trust the way other people show up in your world, that you'll get people on your wavelength, and then you'll get people who are not on your wavelength in order to show you something. That's all part of just unconditional trust. Then the bridge time, it's then you're looking at saying, all right, I know what it feels like when I'm with a person who's soul-based, But there are a lot of people who aren't there yet. And what I've found is a lot of people, they will pretty much show you who they are, tell you who they are, what they're capable of almost right away in the beginning. You know, like, I'm capable of doing this, but not this. And then if we overstep that and expect more of them, then we just end up getting rejected or disappointed by the amount that we overstepped. Mm. You know, so it's something about reading people properly in the beginning. It's not about judging them or mistrusting them. It's about giving them what they can accept. And that, to me, that's an act of compassion. It's also a matter of always looking through the surface of the way a person presents themselves to see the soul inside that is trying to really get through. You know, and if I see someone as their soul and I relate to them as that is the truth, that is the absolute truth, and I telepathically convey that to the person and communicate that in a nonverbal way, somehow they're going to get it. And at some point, they're going to start to think, well, maybe I am better than I thought, or maybe, you know, and they'll start to live up to that vision that you have of them. So you work sometimes on two levels. On the inner, you're seeing them as the soul and validating them and conveying that to them. And on the outer, you're honoring the fact that they say, I'm not ready to do this much yet. Mm-hmm. Do you know? And so you don't try to make them do more than they can, but you might show them or demonstrate to them that it is possible just by the way you act. And then they can look at you and say, maybe I could do that, you know, without forcing. Do you see? It give them the choice.
Hmm. It brings to mind, I heard some life coach talking about how we'll see about 5% of something, and then our brains will fill in the story about everything else. So if someone is dressed a certain way, we're going to assume that they must do this and make this much money and da-da-da-da-da. Right. So it sounds like rather than looking at the surface and letting our brain fill in the other 95%, to be present and actually pay attention, rather than projecting our assumptions onto them, to listen to what's really there.
It's true. And a way to clarify that would be to say that when we're working out of the left brain is where we have all the definitions and everything locked down and our opinions and blah, blah, blah. You know, and so if we're living in the left brain and trying to be safe by having all these rules, you know, that's what we'll do. We'll say, oh, that person is in a business suit, so they can't possibly be a loving person, you know. But if you're more used to opening into your right brain and into your intuition and your heart and your body and your feeling sense of a person, then you'll take a moment and say, okay, they're in a business suit, but let me feel them. Let me see the light in their eyes. So let me feel the energy coming off their skin. Let me feel how their posture is. You know, are they uptight about something, or are they really a warm-hearted person underneath? And then, and part of that is just the love of the exploration of finding the mystery, you know, like, okay, well, the you can't judge the book by its cover. Okay, there's the cover, but what's really inside? And that becomes kind of a game. I do that just to entertain myself, you know, just like, cool. Like, I love discrepancies. I love weirdness. I love people who have all kinds of weird combinations of characteristics. You know, it's fascinating. If everybody's just the same in one way, it's so boring.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that it takes a lot of confidence to be able to do that, because so many of us are so wrapped up in what's going on in our own head, and we're self-conscious, and what's this person going to think of me, and da-da-da-da, that we're not paying so much attention to the other person. We're just wrapped up in our own, probably our left brain.
Right. That's an ironic thing. It's like, it looks like you're paying lots of attention to the other person, but it's mainly so that you can figure out how to act so they'll like you. But I think, you know, when you just let yourself be authentic and real, and honest in the way you respond, and in sharing the thoughts you have in a nice way, in a compassionate way, not in a blatant, you know, beat them over the head with your honesty way, that then people feel comfortable with you. Do you know, if you're trying to match them to make them feel comfortable, they never know who you are, and then they feel uncomfortable. You know, we get comfort when we can relax with someone, when we know that they're who they really are. You know, if someone's judging you, you can't relax. If someone's, you know, reading you and trying to manipulate you, you don't relax because you feel that manipulation and you feel that they're not being real. But you get with somebody like the Dalai Lama, for instance, you know, and you go, wow, what a great guy. You know, I could be myself and he's not going to judge me. He's going to love me no matter what I do. You know, so part of it is when you're being authentic, other people relax, and then they feel like they can be themselves too. And that's where this transparency thing gains momentum, because really it becomes contagious. If you're transparent, and that means you allow other people to see who you are, then guess what? Then you can see through them. You see who they are. You let them see you, you see them. Then you start to be able to see through problems, you know, situations that seem snagged. You go, oh, it's just this. You know, the surface does not snag you anymore. You go right to the heart of what's really real. And then more and more, you know, people get you for who you are, and then everything eases up and people give you more. They help you more. You get synchronicities. It's like an amazing thing, you know. It just builds on itself.
So I'm curious, Penny, if for someone who, I don't know, I mean, we're all on our own journey, but I feel like every day it feels like I'm still just starting out with all this. So for someone who feels like they're just starting out, what might be a first step in moving towards more transparency?
I'd say the first step is find your home frequency. Learn to be in yourself and centered as much as possible and not to project. Don't project into the past. Don't project into the future, because there's really not out there anymore. There's just this huge present moment. Everything's in the present moment with you at different frequencies. So instead of having a future, you have a lot of potential realities. And if you put your attention on them, they will come to you. But you don't have to work in a linear fashion toward a future. So that's one thing. But the main thing is have a way to discriminate when you're being your true self and when you're like in your left brain in a reactionary mode. And then start really preferring the soul-based reality. Because the soul never says should. That's one way to recognize it. And intuition and the right brain does not have language. So if you can stop talking or being on your cell phone, listening to language and even your own inner self-talk, and just get quiet for a minute and be with nature or feel into a flower or a tree, you will shift into your right brain, which opens your intuition and which opens the doorway to the soul's wisdom. So if you can't be quiet, you know, you're in trouble.
So that's a lot of us. A lot of us are in trouble.
I know. It's a habit. We've got to have a little bit of a backlash against our cell phones and gadgets and iPads and constant addiction to screens and constant connection to everybody. Just be quiet for a minute, you know. Let yourself feel what you are, you know, without all the stimulus. Otherwise, we're going to go nuts. You know, we're going to develop brain cancer or something.
Penny, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned just now about the potential realities. And I think that kind of has something to do with what you were mentioning, invocation, which is sort of towards the end of the book. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that, because you just mentioned how we don't have to do it in this linear way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where so many of us get caught up, is looking at, okay, what are the linear steps that I need to get to this goal? And then it feels impossible.
Yeah. And it's going to take a lot of time and willpower and effort and all this. Well, when you think about invocation, I have to backtrack just a little because, okay, so if you're very left brain dominant, you're going to be in that thing you just described, you know, step by step, you know, A, B, C, D, E, and it ends up with, you know, F. and it's the old way. It's cause and effect thinking. But now we're having this kind of thing where everything's in the present moment. So that means if you put your attention on a possible reality, and if you merge with that in your mind, that means you put all your attention on it and in it. I always think of possible futures or realities really as little movies, little spherical bubbles floating in space. And if I look at them, I can get closer and closer and closer and closer, and then I actually step into them, and there's the reality, and I can play with it. I can say, oh, look, at if this were my reality, I would know these people, it would be feeling like this, we would cooperate this way, you know, and I could really understand it. I could even manipulate it a little bit. I could say, well, I'd rather have it be this way, and then the reality would shift to be like this. That means we're playing in the imaginal realm, and that is, you know, our non-physical selves. So learning to work with imagination is paramount here, and learning to understand that the imaginal realm is the real reality. We are the afterthought of the imaginal realm. The physical manifests out of the imaginal. So to get something to happen, often with invocation, what's that's about is saying, I know I'm connected to all the souls. I know I'm connected to every possible variable, to every possible reality. I would like to call in, that's invoke, call in the reality that it's just right for me with all the people who I need to know and work with next. And I know that I have many friends in the physical world and the non-physical world that want me to succeed so that I can help them. If I do my thing, I'll give it to them, and then they can do their thing, and we're all, you know, hooked up together. And so please help me. And that you put that out into the field of the inner realms of the non-physical world, where everything is so directly interconnected. There's no time and space. There's no separation. Everybody can get it telepathically at once, and no effort involved. And then let go. But keep your attention focused on that, the feeling of that reality you'd like. And very likely then, ideas will come to you, and sudden synchronicities and people showing up, and it will very rapidly come together. You know, without all that heavy duty work and willpower, and it's not that you don't take action. It's not that you don't, you know, put in your dues a little bit and prove yourself and develop your skill, but you do it a step at a time because each step feels like fun, you know? And, you know, so, you know, things just become a lot more frictionless.
Well, sign me up for that. That sounds good. Less friction.
I know. Yeah, it's so smooth. It's, you know, it's very fluid what's coming. Very fluid.
Beautiful. And you mentioned the imagination. So I'd love to touch on, you're doing an intuition and writing workshop coming up in April 2018.
Yes. I'm working with a novelist, a friend of mine from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, who, and we're going to be doing an intuition and writing workshop, which it'll be like for people who want to write books, but even for people who just want to get in touch and expand intuition and imagination and be able to get that flow going without the left brain jumping in and judging everything. So it's an immersion experience. It's down at Hutchinson Island in Florida. There's a nature preserve. It's a resort. Very cool. And you know, between Tina Welling, who's the novelist, and me, you know, we've got all the publishing area covered, you know, so lots of guidance, lots of fun exercises and things to do. So it should be great. That'll be about April 11th, I think, was when it starts.
Beautiful. And your website is pennypierce.com, P-E-N-N-E-Y, pierce.com. Mm-hmm. I imagine there'll be information about that there.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a flyer that can be downloaded.
Fun. Okay. Now we're just about out of time, Penny. So I'm wondering what, if there's anything that you really feel needs to be said that hasn't been asked, or what would you like to leave us with today?
Like you said before, I'm fairly positive. I know that there's going to be a lot of upset still coming with the people. It's kind of like ego death, you know, the ego and the left brain is having to let go of being the boss and being in control. And the right brain, the intuition and the soul, is where all the wisdom comes from. It's really the boss. And the left brain is the implementer. So we're starting to shift priorities about how we, you know, think and do reality. So I just encourage people. I mean, the biggest thing we can do is develop intuition right now. Trust our bodies. Trust our soul. Trust that sense of direct knowing. And, you know, discriminate between when the left brain is running things and you're in the left brain and thinking you are the left brain, versus when you shift over into that other kind of consciousness and then choose.
Beautiful. And I imagine that the one of the ways to get into that is the direct knowing is through silence and meditation and being in nature.
Yes. Yeah. When you have direct knowing, you have to be quiet, and then it kind of just pops up, like, you know, those little magic eight balls you would shake up and then the thing would cup up in the window, you know, it's like that. It's just like boom, you know, it comes right in and you have this sense of something and you don't know where it came from. But you have to learn to notice what you're noticing. Hmm. Very important to work with that inner perceiver or that kind of mindfulness practice to see what is my soul, me the soul, what am I trying to show myself right now?
Hmm. And let the left brain rest, because the left, we have these intuitive moments, and then our left brain is like, no, well, that doesn't make sense. You're just making that up or whatever.
That's right. Mm. That is right. Yeah. And then, you know, relax, because the left brain has its function and it's very important, but it's not the boss. You know, it knows how to make things conscious, which is incredibly important, but it shouldn't be making rules, right? And locking things down and then only living on what was done in the past, which is what it really pretty much does right now. So.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. It has been such a pleasure to have you back on the show, Penny. Thank you so much. The name of the book is Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. And Penny's website is pennypierce.com. I want to thank you so much for your time, Penny. And thank you for listening and for being with us. Happy New Year. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians. That's right. Russians. Ruskies. Communists. Communists. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The Leo Ramirez Show at CITR, Mondays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. El show de Leo Ramirez en CITR, lunes de 5 a 6 de la tarde.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join